Welcome back to another episode of B-Hall Radio. I'm your host, Brian Rowan. Logan Everett's not on the call today. We are doing it just me and Coach Ward. Welcome to the show, Coach.
It's good to be here. B-Row, Logan is not with us. He's doing fine, but
he's no longer with us. I forgot about that. That's a throwback.
Yeah, he's no longer with us, but he'll be back next episode. He's doing fine. It's me and B-Row, and this is it's kind of like a first for us. We're doing this at, 8:30 in the morning on just a normal old work day when most people are in their office doing, like, real jobs. Me and you get to talk wrestling. Man, did we meet last week? Have we covered? Have we talked at all about? So we have some stuff to talk about. We've had three dual meets.
Yeah, we've had three in 2 weeks. You know, a lot of good things. You know, some things to work on, at least from my, perspective.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that. I can't wait to hear your scouting report. Tell me everything I'm doing wrong and things that we need to work on. I can't wait for this.
No,
this is how I like to start my day in the office right here. Show up and have B-Row tell me everything I'm doing wrong. I'm here for this.
So I have a new work counterpart. It's a little sidebar here. And he's been working at our company for the company I work at for 32 years. He's 55. He's been doing this a long time. And I'm like, he hasn't had a counterpart, like a mirrored person to work with in several years. So I come in the start of the year and now he is, he's every day. He's like, you've got all these suggestions, And so I have to, really monitor how I feed my suggestions and things we should work on.
Listen, it's always similar. We talk about all the time. Like, I love suggestions and ideas. Position I'm in, my suggestions have consequences. Like when you're the head coach and the program is yours and you have to own it, all of a sudden your suggestions and your ideas have real consequences. And sometimes that can throttle you back a little bit and you're afraid to think of things that are quote unquote outside the box. So hearing them from other people, like, you can give me all the suggestions that you can, they have no consequences. Like, you can just throw them out there, and if they're terrible, doesn't matter. You can go about your day. But that's a good thing, because when only the person whose butt is on the line is the one making suggestions, you hold yourself back because you have this fear of getting it wrong. So getting suggestions from people who have the freedom to only make suggestions with no consequences can be a really good thing, because there's going to be some stuff there that you can use.
See, that's
my coaching philosophy for the morning.
I feel like mine are a little different, because you and most people probably take my suggestions very seriously. And I feel like mine have consequences because they're going to turn into reality, because they're such a high quality.
Your suggestions are so high quality that I'm taking them that seriously. B-Row, we've been doing this for years. If that's as far as we've gotten on knowing each other, then I'm going to take your suggestions that seriously? You've got a Cosmo Kramer picture right behind you. I'm not going to take you seriously.
The ass man.
Yeah.
That was Amber cleaned out the closet downstairs, and I keep that in the closet because every once in a while I'll switch out one of the photos in the living room and see how long.
It's brilliant. I've seen your Insta stories and how long it's going to take her to figure it out. Yeah, it's brilliant. But yes, we do have a lot to cover. We usually start off strong with like 24 listeners. And if we keep talking about your house furnishings, we're going to lose a couple of them and be down to single digits here in a minute. But we better talk some wrestling sometime soon.
Yeah, so let's go in straight into the duels. 3-0 in EIWA action, wrestling, Columbian Drexel last week, and then coming off a big win in Binghamton this past weekend. Big highlights in the duels, we kind of dominated, all three duels across the board. It didn't seem very close. And a lot of those duels I think we've had in the past were, 5-5 splits or 6-4, where it comes down, last match. It felt like we're kind of in control, all three matches. What are your thoughts?
I think, yeah. So go back a couple weeks ago, that same day we wrestled Columbia and then Drexel on the same day. And the scoreboard, if you've listened to the show at all, like, my thoughts on dual meet scoring. Like, I don't know how it started or why it is the way it is right now, but it's, I mean, it's consistent, at least everybody goes by the same system, but I don't think that dual meet scoring is actually like representative of the action that took place over the course of the 10 bouts. So you look at a team score, it might look lopsided, and it could be 10 really close bouts. You just ended up on the wrong side of all of them. I'm not sure what the team scores were, but there were definitely tight moments in both dual meets that day where individual matches were close. The team score was close at times, like pivotal moments that we each team felt like they had to win. What we did a good job of in those two dual meets is getting bonus points when we had chances to do it. We had three pins on the day. That's big. You can't replace that. So like having bonus points is huge. And I thought that day was really important for us because we came off the scuffle and we were wrestling well. And Franklin and Marshall tournament, we were wrestling well. It was important for us that we kept momentum going in the right direction. Whether we won or lost the team score, my focus has been we have to keep this momentum up, compete, be aggressive, compete with a lot of energy. And we did that. So that was what I was most proud of that day, is that it was pivotal that we kept momentum going in the right direction. And the guys did. And obviously those pins, Ben Pazook had a pin against Columbia, against Drexel. He had a pin against Drexel. And then both Bergen and Basil, back-to-back pins against Columbia.
That was what started off the match too, right?
What's that?
You guys started at 25 in that Columbia match, right? So you guys are out to 12-0 lead there?
Did we start at 184? What weight did we start at?
I can't remember.
We started at 184. They had it
started at 25, so I thought they.
No, we started at 84. I remember Ben finished the duels. So, yeah, we started at 84, which we lost. And then we lost 97 and won heavyweight. So, like, going into 25, we're down 2-1. And then Bergen getting a pin against somebody that beat him last year, you know, that really energized the bench. And then, you know, Basil following it up. And then, you know, that was some good action. And by the way, like, we have a lot of respect for both of those programs. Columbia has been doing some really good things. They built up their RTC. They put a lot of energy and a lot of money into their program. They had a great national tournament last year, like, that elevated their program. So that was important for us. And I've told a few people this, like, we've lost some recruits to Columbia over the past couple of years. And that happens. But when you lose recruits, you don't want to lose dual meets. And so if we've lost some recruits to them and beat them in a dual meet, that feels better. So no, that was good for us. It was a good day. We were aggressive. We wrestled hard. You know, the typical coach speak, but it was good to get bonus points. Do you want to know what I told the team the week after and what we've been focusing on?
I'm dying to hear it.
So we lost matches that day too. We lost matches at 141 in both dual meets. We lost a match at 149 against Drexel. We lost a match at at 174. So we lost some matches where we were winning early on. And at some point, you know, the momentum of those matches shifted just a little bit. And we didn't take charge in a couple critical times. And my message, you know, to the team is, look, it's got to be about those moments and how you respond. And here's a great thing about it, especially about this time of year, is it's just a sport. Like, it's just wrestling. This is not life or death. And if you don't respond the way that you wanted to, like, recognize it and then be committed to making the corrections that you need, technically, mentally, emotionally, internally, whatever it is, that next time I'm going to respond the right way. Just learn from it. Understand it's not fatal, but you need to address it. You need to learn from it. You need to be better the next week. And I think we were better the next week by quite a bit. And so to me, it's just about those moments and addressing them and continuing to improve in all the different ways. Like I said, whether it's technically, whether it's mentally, whether it's your ability to manage a match, like all of those things, let's just continue to get better. learn from them. Moments that you responded the way that you're proud of, great. If you responded in a moment the way you're not proud of, it's not fatal. Learn from it, get better.
The we had two dual meets 2 weeks ago, and then one last week. You know, some of the weight classes that are in question, you split the squad up, you know, to get different looks. Did the results of that week play into who was going to start, you know, this past week, or was it matchups, you know, or, you know, was there, you know, what was the thought process going into picking the guy for, you know, single dual meet last weekend?
Yeah, both. So do you want to just ask me about which weight classes? So I don't have to try to run through everything. You want, let's start at the bottom.
Yeah, specifically and work our way up. 49 and, 65, I think are good places to start.
So, 41. Okay, let's do this. 41, 41, 49, 65, 84, heavy. Wow, that's a lot. Okay, 41, Columbia and Drexel, neither guy claimed a spot there. You know, both were winning matches early and both let matches get away from them as the match later on. So coming off that, the reason Logan started against Binghamton, Richie had wrestled that guy maybe three times this year. I think it's 1-2 against him, has beaten him and also had 2 1-point losses. Give Logan a chance to wrestle against Binghamton, see what he can do. And he did a nice job. Logan's match against Binghamton was very similar to his match against Drexel. The biggest difference is, like, he responded the right way against Binghamton when he didn't against Drexel. He got out, he got a takedown, rode really hard. And sometimes when you ride somebody really hard for like 2.5 minutes and you get no back points, like that takes a lot of energy. And maybe against Drexel, he felt like, man, I spent a lot of energy, didn't get any points, started feeling a little bit tired and thinking the wrong things, and the match got out of hand. Against Binghamton, it was the opposite. He rode him hard and then got another takedown, you know, made the match go his way. 49. I mean, Matt's just been so reliable and so consistent and reliable. And we needed that against Binghamton. And so he showed that against Columbia, and he got the nod against Binghamton and did a pretty good job there too. Very close to a major decision against Binghamton. 65 is one where both guys are continuing to definitely get chances. What do we do there at 65? I think Columbia, Gunner wrestled Columbia and Dalton wrestled Drexel, and they both did a good job. Against Binghamton, you know, Harkins has wrestled that Binghamton kid a few times, and it's been very similar matches over and over. So I wanted to see something different. We didn't get much different. Like, you know, Gunner wrestled him, and it was kind of the same. You know, their guy's good at getting a takedown and winning by a point. And that's what happened. So, but one thing, you know, that you might see different going forward is I loved the energy that Dylan Sheehy competed with against Binghamton. He, like, that was a lot of energy he put out there. Even though he lost a 1-point match, that guy's ranked in the top 15 in the country, and Dylan was in position to win the match, just really close to getting it done. So you might see Dylan wrestle a little bit more. And heavyweight is still one of those where we got to keep providing opportunities because we have two really, really good options. So, I mean, looking ahead this coming weekend, not to get too far ahead of the script of the show, but Stoddard is going to wrestle against Bucknell, and Kohlhofer is going to go to the Lock Haven tournament this weekend and get some matches in.
Gotcha.
Does that help? Does that help answer any questions about where we're at? I mean, I would say going forward, 41, 49, 65, and heavyweight, they're still both going to get chances. And we're like, it's not crunch time now. In about 2-3 weeks, it'll be crunch time to let's figure it out. But we've got a couple weeks, and I'm going to keep trying to give some people opportunities to compete for a couple weeks.
Does giving each guy opportunities affect, you know, possible opportunities at automatic bids? You know, coaches poll came out, this week we had 7 guys in it. A lot of those guys, it's some of those weight classes where, it could be the other guy. Does that, is that going to possibly impact, automatic qualifiers and our bids for, those positions?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it definitely does. That's one of the things that we look at, as the coaching staff. That's my job. Is I've always said, you got to be in it to win it. You can't win the national tournament if you're not there. And so the person on our team that has the best chance to get to the tournament, I mean, that's really heavily weighted when you're looking at if you've got guys that are neck and neck. And what matters there is who we select as our starter before the EIWA tournament. That person is listed as rankable in the coaches poll. And then it's up to their body of work to warrant being ranked by the coaches. And so your entire season gets looked at. Like if you're ranking somebody and you're doing your job, you have to count every match. You don't have to, but you can count every match the same. You can count a match in November the same as a match in February. A loss is a loss, a win's a win. But coaches, there's a human element there to how coaches rank, and how they view somebody's season. And so if you've had if you've had 5 really good wins, that ranked wins, that matters. But if you've had 5 really ugly losses to unranked guys, that also matters. So all this is taken into account when we decide at the end who's going to go. You have to have an opportunity to go to the national tournament. And to do that, you have to have a better chance, I think it's obvious. You have to have a better chance than the guy you're competing against. So we're going to put the person in the EIWA tournament who we think has the best chance to go to Kansas City. That's the bottom line. That's a big part of it.
Looking at the coaches poll, I think traditionally you're pretty safe if you're in the top 25-ish, but maybe 22 to 25. We've got a lot of guys that are, kind of on the cusp of being there that are in the rankings. You've got Gunner 26, Basil 27, Bergen 28, Williams 29, Lucas 31, all those guys, but they all have opportunities coming forward. And you're looking at, especially wrestling Lehigh and Navy with some guy, a lot of ranked guys in there where there's potential to move up the rankings. So some good opportunities moving forward and looking ahead at some of the matches, not to, undermine, the match this weekend against Bucknell, but maybe not as many matchups, marquee matchups as we're looking forward to some other matches later in the season.
Well, a couple things there, but I'm not so sure. I agree with the last thing you said. If you want to look at the matchups against Bucknell this week, 133, big time. 165, big time. Heavyweight, big time. So that's 3 out of the 7 ranked guys that have real big time opportunities this weekend. If you're ranked anywhere from 25th to 33rd or whatever, you're not safe. You should feel good about, where you're at. Nobody's satisfied with being ranked 25th. Right. So I'm not saying that they're satisfied with it, but I'm just saying that's a dicey position. You better continue to improve, and you can't take a weekend off. You've got to be on. And if you're not on, you better be tough because the margins are thin. If you're ranked between 27th and 33rd, you're not getting an automatic spot. Those are going to be at-large spots. Typically there's 27, 28, 29 pre-allocated spots to the national tournament. The other 4 to 5 are at-large bids. So if you're not in the top 25, it's dicey whether you're going to earn a bid for your conference or not. But those matchups at Bucknell this weekend, at those weights specifically, those are crucial. But then you look at somebody like Matt Williams. What's he ranked? You had that written down?
He's 29.
29. You can't go in there and lose to somebody that's not ranked or you fall out of the poll. If you're ranked 29th and you go take an ugly loss, you're not ranked anymore. Yeah. And so that's you can't approach matches with the fear of that in mind, but you just got to understand, man, I'm 29 is not a good spot. 19, 9 and then in the top five, like that's where you need to be. 29 is not where you want to be sitting. And so if you want to move up, let's go have a good performance this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you're right. I mean, looking ahead at the rest of the schedule, I think for sure, I'm telling you, this Bucknell matchup this weekend is tough.
I didn't mean to disrespect it. I'm nothing against, you know, Bucknell.
It's you just, hate Bucknell. I'm going to put this clip up. This is going to be like, this is going to be the teaser. B-Row disrespects Bucknell.
It's just not as sexy as, you know, Lehigh and Navy. And Navy's definitely not sexy. The opposite. But some of the matchups, you know, I'm chomping at the bit for.
Gotcha. I mean, I think like Lehigh's, I don't know what they're ranked as a program, but I know they have two guys that are ranked first in the country, and they have two others that are ranked in the top 10. And so, I mean, big time opportunities there, and that's at home. So let's go show out. And then, of course, you know, a couple of weeks after that, you know, Navy, and they have a good program, and it doesn't matter what anybody's ranked there. It's going to be tough matches, which is what we want. So there's plenty of opportunities left. Our destiny is in our hands, to use an overused sports cliche. But, what's important for us is we've got to continue getting better. That's it. It boils down to that. If we don't get better, we're not going to be there at the end. If we can continue to make progress, we can be really, really good.
Well, looking ahead, not to overlook this weekend, you talked about, you know, big matchups at 33, 65, heavyweight. What about the other seven weight classes? You know, anything you guys are specifically working on, you know, kind of running through the other weight classes?
I wouldn't say specifically. I mean, I think they have an interesting position at 41, where Chapel's back and he's down a weight class. You know, this guy was Chapel, I think, was he in the conference finals last year? I know he beat Trey last year at 149.
I forget.
And so they got, that's an interesting matchup at 141. They're all like, Bucknell is always a tough team. And like I said, we have to continue getting better and have better performances at 49, 57. I don't expect anything to be easy at all. Nothing. And so, like, while I didn't call those other seven weight classes out as like marquee matchups, if we step out there on the mat and we think, oh, I'm just going to roll these guys, they're not going to fight back, we're not going to like the result because they're going to fight really hard. But what I've been telling our team is like, that's what you want. Like, tough matches are what you want. And you can win a tough match by 15 points, or you can win a tough match by 1 point. But tough matches are what we want. And I know that Bucknell's going to bring that, and that's why I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome, Coach. The moving into some listener questions that we've got.
Nice.
And this is, you kind of spoke on this a little bit, but, you know, with Lehigh coming up, they've got, you know, some big hammers. You mentioned two number ones, other, you know, two others in the top 10. Big test for Ethan at 125, specifically since 125 is a mess. You know, thoughts on that specifically going in there? I mean, a lot of times, and this is just me talking now, but sometimes you're going in and wrestling the number one guy in the country. It's, you know, it's not, you know, it's different at 125 this year, because there's probably been 15 different guys been ranked number one, you know. So it's, Ethan's been a guy that's been, you know, in and around the top 10, you know, in the past. I feel like, you know, these are great opportunities, but it was a great question.
So my thoughts on that match, 125, dude, I mean, is it not obvious that that weight class is wide open? Like, everybody knows that. And 100% Ethan Bergen is good enough to win it. Like, I'm on the record as saying it. He is good enough to win an NCAA championship this year at 125 pounds. And that's a good, like, we talk a lot in our program about just remembering what you're chasing, you know, and I'll back up a couple weeks and talking about the Columbia and Drexel matches afterwards, telling the team, we're not chasing those programs. That's not what we're chasing. then when our eyes got set on, let's just win a couple of these matches, we let them chase us down. It's important for us that we keep our eyes forward and understand what we're really doing this for. And that's to see how great you can become. And when you get an opportunity to wrestle the number one ranked guy in the country, you know, that's somebody you can say, all right, I am chasing that. I'm chasing the number one ranking. And so let me go get them and let me see what it feels like, you know, to chase down the number one guy. So I could not be more pumped about that. Like, I could not be more excited about the opportunity at 25 and 33 and wherever else we get chances to wrestle guys that we know are really good. There's certain opponents that you can say, okay, I can measure myself against them. And we have several of those opportunities left where you get to measure where you're at against, you know, really good competition. So my thoughts, and I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. And you as a listener can see it live in Crystal Arena 2 weeks, 2 weeks from this Sunday.
That's right.
1 week from this Sunday.
And I think both are going to be on Flow, actually. So if you can't make it live, we want you there in person, but if you can't make it live, I think being on Flow, you'll be able to watch there. We have to apologize to our listeners. I know super, super frustrating that, you know, we didn't have any like quality streaming for our last home match.
I mean, if Flow goes down, we know that, hey, we can just go Instagram live.
God.
And we can see it from 30 feet away, all the action that's going on.
Dude, I mean, I'm looking at it and I'm like, look, man, like it's 2024 and that is a complete failure on so many levels to stream on Instagram live. I appreciate people tuning in and watching it, but we'll do better from this point on, I promise.
At least we got to see the wrestle. Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah, from 30 feet away with no replay, whatever, you know. Everything coming up, you know, we got, it'll be awesome.
Another question came in. Is there any talk towards the AIWA creating a required dual season? You know, I know now that, you know, we're in the heat of the dual meet season. You know, some of the other conferences do that. We kind of just pick our schedule. You just kind of pick our schedule. Any discussion towards that?
I think every other conference does that, right? No, but there's okay. So no, I mean, I'll give you a history lesson on the EIWA. This was, oh my God, 5, 6, 7 years ago. I think when the EIWA was 16 teams at the time, we had like 14 of the 16 coaches vote yes to mandated conference scheduling. And it still didn't get passed. So 14 of the 16 coaches said, yes, we want this. Let's do it. The people in charge of the EIWA at the time, you know, figured out ways to shoot it down. The EIWA has really no legislative power. There's no teeth at all. They can't make you do anything except show up for the conference tournament. That's the only thing you have to do when you're part of the EIWA. Just show up and wrestle at the conference tournament. And so, no, there's no talk about mandated scheduling. I think one thing that is interesting is Patriot League schools already wrestle each other. So there could be maybe something in the works of like, we can at least unofficially name a Patriot League dual meet winner, whatever you want to call it, champion. That's something. But as far as EIWA scheduling, the EIWA is such a mess. Like, it's just, the EIWA is a tournament. That's what the EIWA is. It's a tournament with really no other leadership and no other, like, there's no other structure to it. It's a tournament.
Yeah, it's unfortunate at the moment.
It's like a huge missed opportunity, right? Because you think about the power of the brand of these schools and what the EIWA, the tradition, I mean, it dates, it's the oldest conference in the country. And, but again, you know, it's not really a conference. It's really just a tournament.
It's the Rose Bowl of conferences.
Actually, Scott Green's going to run with
that. That's why it's called the Rose Bowl of Wrestling.
If we haven't lost Scott Green by now in our episode and he hears that, he can pick it up and run with it.
So that's the Wilkes is the oldest holiday tournament.
And that's why it's the Rose.
That's why they call. Yeah, I looked it up after that episode. I was like, I forgot to mention it. But yeah. That's why I looked into the origin of why it's called that. It's the oldest open tournament around the holidays. So that's why they refer to it as the Rose Bowl of wrestling.
Makes sense. Yeah, should have known that.
Rose Bowl of conferences.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to pull that clip. Send it to Scott. He's gonna run with it.
I wanted to test and see if he stuck with it and listened to us ramble on about Army wrestling. I mean, me and him talk wrestling all day, every day. So it's not like he has to listen to this to hear me ramble on about wrestling. But I want to see if he actually listens to the episodes, because I do listen and read his Rock Fins every time he posts. So let's see if he listens to us.
Another question. I mean, I know you can't get into names here, but one, how does the class of 24 look? How's class of 25 shaping up? How are the current prepsters looking like? I don't know how specific. I know you can't get specific, but I don't know how much you can get into it.
Yeah, I can't name names, but I can say that we are pumped and it's really exciting. I think what we've been able to do, what has been able to happen with the prep school program has been really positive, and those results are showing. They're showing in our lineup right now, and they'll continue to show up in our lineup as the years go forward. Like, if you look and see the starters in our lineup right now, Bergen, prep school. Basil, prep school. Logan Brown, prep school. Parkins, Philippowitz, prep school. Pazook, prep school. That's a lot. Stoddard, Kohlhofer, prep school. It's showing up in our lineup, and it's going to continue to show up. So, can't talk about names of recruits, but I know the results have been pretty encouraging from what we would say up the hill. Recruiting, as far as recruiting high school guys, I feel really good about, you know, where we're at. And we have been able to recruit really well over the past couple of years. And now let's not forget what we've been able to do that's made us successful. The type of people we've been able to get, that we've really been able to reach and to coach and develop. And then let's continue to pick it up, you know. And look, there is no secrets to this. I'm not saying any inside info. The better recruits you get out of high school, the better your program does in college. That's it. It's very simple. The better, the higher ranked your recruiting classes, the higher ranked your team. No secret to that at all. Everybody knows it. And so without saying anything else, like, it's on our mind every single day.
Appreciate that. Fernando Martinez, he had a question. Well, it really wasn't a question. He was just trying to poke fun and say he has a better inside trip than I do. So shout out to Nando.
Nando, I agree.
I mean, he's not known for an inside trip. I am. Maybe that's
all you are. I thought you were known for that fireman's.
No. Wait, you don't know this?
What? Okay.
You're messing
with me. I don't know what.
I've got a lethal inside trip.
On who? B-Row? On everybody? Listen, next time Nando's back, it's B-Row Nando. I'm going to rules of engagement, inside trips only. Can you imagine you two wrestling just inside trips? That's it?
I mean, that's all I do anyway. That's all I have. So
that's B-Row style.
That's it for the listener questions. Anything else before we wrap things up? We've been going for about 40 minutes or so right now.
I think yes, an exciting addition to our RTC, Coach Jesse Williams.
A little bit about last time, right?
Yeah, Coach Jesse Williams is in our RTC now. And so he brings a lot of experience. He has been part of, I think, Cornell's feeder system for the past few years. He's got an extensive background in Greco, I think a 7-time placer at the U.S. Open and World Team Trials in Greco, a couple times in the finals, like super high-level competitor with a great wrestling mind. And we've now added him to our RTC. So anybody that that supports, this is just a reminder, the West Point Wrestling Club and the RTC are the same thing. So to all the our supporters for the West Point Wrestling Club and RTC, you're making these things happen. So thank you. So Jesse is here and he coaches our RTC, which means all our RTC athletes, and he'll help coach our club athletes. It's, you know, big time addition for us. And he's also a certified strength and conditioning coach. So he brings an element there where he can add some knowledge and some insight into ways that we can maybe do things specific to wrestling. And we're fired up about that. So that's big time. I imagine if you're still listening, then you're either a big time fan or an alumni of the program. We are updating all of our alumni contact info. So please make sure that we have your contact info up to date. Get on the alumni Facebook page, click the profile link to update your contact info. So we can make sure that we can reach out to you and we get rid of all the emails that are spammed, get blocked. So we want the most up-to-date as possible. I think that's it, man.
Ours is if we haven't changed anything, do we need to go in there and update it? Like,
no, if everything's the same, then you're good to go.
So I get them attached two different emails.
Well, here's the way it works. When we send something out to like Wrestling Insiders and we send something else out to everybody, you'll probably get emails from two different systems. So you'll get two different emails. But it's, you know, you'll get the same email twice. Are you saying what? You have two different email addresses that you use?
I have a Yahoo that I get emails to from like a while back, and then I have a Gmail that I get them as well. So I just read them twice. It's easy.
Nice. Yeah. No need to update. We got you. I mean, I go in there and I make sure I delete all your information anyway. So it'll give me something else to do if you go in there and update it. I'll have to delete it. No, that's it. I think, look, this is a, you know what we didn't bring up?
The Army Navy reception.
That's right.
Is that what you're thinking of? I was just thinking that.
You and I, neither one of us like to admit this, but we're kind of on the same page a lot. Right? Or do you like to admit that?
I like to admit that.
I'd also like to admit it, Brian. So so if you're going to Annapolis for our dual meet, we have a pre-match social. It's there at, I think their version of the West Point Club. What would that be called? The Annapolis Club? I don't know. I don't know. But if you're going to that match, we want you at the social beforehand. And it'll be a gathering of all of our supporters, food and drink to get fired up for the match. I'll stop by, give you a little preview, let you know what's going to happen. Then we'll go out there and scrap. So if you're going there, we'd love to see you at the social.
Yeah, this is. I mean, I'm glad it's at on campus this year instead. Like, 2 years ago, it made things a little bit interesting after, you know, a few drinks and cocktails, and then trying to shoot over to there like an hour before start time and getting on post and stuff.
Right.
So I saw that when I saw that change, I was like, this is good.
So we'd love to see you guys there. NCAA tickets, they've been issued. We appreciate all the fans. We had about 45 tickets to sell and about 150 requests. And as we move forward, we are going to refine the NCAA distribution or allocation process, to make sure everyone understands what it takes to be on the list. You can expect something next year. Like, you'll need to meet 4 or 5 criteria to be in the lottery. Season ticket holder, participate on Giving Day, be a Wrestling Insider. Maybe I'm forgetting a criteria there, but just to make sure that the people that are supporting our program have first chance to be in the lottery for tickets. Because, man, these are a hot item. Like, I don't know how many emails I've gotten from other programs asking us if we have more tickets. Like, hey, this is a pretty common thing. Another program will call us and be like, hey, we need like 50 more tickets. Do you have any? And I'm like, dude, I could sell 100 more if I had them. No, we don't have any extras. And so the privilege of being able to buy tickets through any school's ticket block, you really need to lean in and be involved to be able to do that. And we're going to refine that process. But to everyone who got our tickets, we look forward to seeing you in Kansas City.
Awesome. Well, appreciate you hopping on, Coach. Fun as always. I'll get this out later this afternoon.
Cool.
Listeners, thanks for tuning in. You guys are still listening in. You made it. It was a long one.
We made it. Yeah, we made it this far. Insiders, I've got the Bucknell preview going out later today, too. So check your email later on today. And look forward to seeing you down the road. Be Hall. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to the Be Hall Radio Show. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast platform. If there's something you'd like to hear on a future show, reach out to us on any of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Or you can reach us at email, behaw.radio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and as always, go Army, be Navy.